Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. PM Tampa Bay, I'm Ryan Gorman, and joining me now on the hotline, former mayor of South Bend and presidential candidate, currently a surrogate for the Biden campaign, Pete Buttigieg. More importantly, he's also apparently a co-worker of mine here at iHeartRadio with his new podcast, The Deciding Decade. Mayor Pete, thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
So every president goes into the presidency with a laundry list of issues they want to address. But the reality is, as we saw during the first 2 years of the Obama presidency and then the first 2 years of the Trump presidency, even with control of the White House and both chambers and Congress, you only have so much political capital. In terms of the legislative agenda, what's the top issue or two that a Biden presidency would look to tackle from the outset?
Well, look, first and foremost, there's going to have to be swift action to deal with the pandemic. I don't think the president's predictions of the weeks are going to be any more true now than they were in April. So that means action to make sure that we have economic relief, to make sure that it is free and easily accessible to get testing, get treatment, and as soon as possible get a vaccine. And that's obviously something our economy depends on, too. But I expect you'll also see quick mobilization to keep Vice President Biden's promises to have a fairer tax code, to have economic policies that actually work for us, make child care affordable, protect and expand health care, and do all of the things that the American people expect of their president instead of the current economic policy that seems mostly to be about tax cuts for the wealthy.
You know, one of the issues following the 2008 Great Recession was a very slow economic recovery that just, it took years to really materialize. Is there any concern that if you start raising taxes, even if it's on those over $400,000 per year in income, and you start to put back into place a number of regulations that have been rolled back, that that could impact and potentially hurt post-pandemic recovery?
Well, we're talking about tax policy that has historically been consistent with very strong growth here in the U.S. It's making sure that those who are the very wealthiest pay their fair share. You know, of course, it makes sense to have common sense tax policy and not be overregulated. But when you see over 91 of the biggest companies in the world on billions of dollars in profits paying zero in taxes, something's out of whack, especially because that shifts the tax burden onto the rest of us. So what you're going to see are the pro-growth policies that yielded a faster rate of growth under the Obama-Biden administration than there was in the first 3 years of the Trump administration. But more importantly, you won't have any growth at all until you get this pandemic under control, something the current president simply doesn't seem to understand.
I'm joined by Pete Buttigieg, former mayor of South Bend, a presidential candidate, currently a surrogate for the Biden campaign. I always think foreign policy gets too little attention leading up to these elections. It's not a sexy topic. Yeah. I get that. But it's an area where a president has a lot of power. It's also an area where this president has had some real wins. A number of peace agreements have been reached in the Middle East. An updated version of NAFTA was ratified. And we can certainly debate the tactic taken, but President Trump at least attempted to really stand up to China on trade. Looking back at the Obama-Biden administration, Syria was a pretty massive failure. China, Russia, and Iran all expanded their influence during those years. Why should the American people think that this time around a better result will be the outcome?
Well, first of all, global respect for the United States has plummeted under President Trump. It's the first time that the world leaders surveyed have actually said they trust Xi Jinping more than the U.S. president. And when the head of the Chinese Communist Party is trusted more than the president of the United States, that is devastating for the credibility and objectives of the U.S. Of course, it's not that surprising when you see the president standing next to Vladimir Putin, that he trusted Putin more than the U.S. intelligence community, cozying up to dictators, making excuses for them, and really getting played by Xi Jinping. I mean, when you look at China, remember the president of the United States, this president, praised Xi Jinping's transparency. That was Donald Trump's word, transparency. And you can look up the tweet right now, it's still out there, at the very moment that China was misleading the world about the pandemic. So, 4 more years of this president, and we will see a continued collapse in American credibility and respect. I think we need to get to a state where the world trusts the U.S. before it's too late. And that's not going to happen if we have more of the same.
Well, that's an argument against the Trump foreign policy. But again, looking back at the Obama-Biden foreign policy, how do we know that the decision-making is going to be better? I mean, Syria...
Well, the Obama-Biden foreign policy brought a stop to the Iranian nuclear program, brought Osama bin Laden to justice, reached heights not seen at that time in the level of respect for the United States, fortified our alliances, and ultimately, I think, made us stronger than when he took office. But, there's no question that we're going to be better off if we end the collapse in credibility and respect and safety that the U.S. has experienced in these last 4 years.
Bringing things back home, a big issue Democrats have raised over the past few years has been the eroding of norms. At the same time, there seems to be a big push for things like ending the legislative filibuster, perhaps expanding the Supreme Court. Neither of those moves would be unconstitutional, but you know, those are the kinds of moves that would certainly continue a growing pattern of escalation in Washington, D.C. And look, we can debate all day and all night who started it and all of that, but if Joe Biden's running on a return to normalcy message, doesn't he have a responsibility to unequivocally take those kinds of options off the table?
Oh, no, I think he needs to keep those options on the table in order to actually get our government to be more responsive. I mean, you look at the Senate right now, it's become an institution for defeating the will of the majority of the American people. I mean, look at this confirmation, right, where a president who was rejected by a majority of the popular vote put in a nominee, which was a decision that was opposed by a majority of the American people, confirmed by senators who collectively represented a minority of voters. And a republic can only go so long with minority rule. And so we're going to need to take some steps to make sure that our representative republic is just a little bit more representative. Now, my hope is that we can find ways to do that that actually reduce the political temperature. That's why some of the different flavors of court reform have interesting potential there. But also the filibuster, which I think many people associate with segregation, is also something that deserves to be reconsidered in the 2020s as we're figuring out what it's going to take to finally get our government to be a little more responsive than it's been these last few decades under really both parties.
You know, we always hear about how President Trump attempts to delegitimize certain aspects of our system, but it sounds like what you just said is the same with some core aspects of our republic. I mean, we can talk tactics, but the steps taken that you mentioned were done by a legitimately elected president in Congress. It was all constitutional. Now, if you're talking about norms outside of that, that's a different issue.
Yeah, I mean, we depend a lot on the president to be ethical and to show restraint without it being written down somewhere that he has to. I think one of the things that we've learned under the Trump presidency is there are a lot of things we just counted on a president to do. There's no law saying you have to. There's no law that actually spelled out that the president has to say he's committed to the peaceful transfer of power, because I don't think it ever crossed our mind that we'd ever get a president who wouldn't. So at the end of the day, some of these norms are continuing to be important regardless of what constitutional boundaries there are on the behavior of the president. But I think the reinforcement of those norms is one of the things that's really an American priority. It's one of the reasons you see so many Republicans, lifelong Republicans, saying that they will support Joe Biden this time around, just to get us back to a little more of a level and centered place.
Final question for you. When it comes to the legislative agenda, if even perhaps with a Democratic majority in both chambers, it becomes difficult to pass certain policy priorities, do you see the Joe Biden administration doing what we've seen, especially the last two administrations, do all too often, and that is try to rule by executive order?
You know, I think in order for these changes to be enduring, you really got to focus on the legislative side. There will always be a role for executive orders. But the good news is, the American people support, with a strong majority, the kinds of things that the vice president has talked about, whether it's the wealthy paying their fair share in taxes or raising wages or empowering workers or expanding instead of removing health care. I mean, just about every issue is something where there's a majority of Americans backing him up. Now, of course, as we've learned, just because your idea has a majority with the American people doesn't always mean it can get a majority with the American Congress. But I do think there's going to be a moment for powerful reform that doesn't have a president resorting to executive action in order to get anything done.
Pete Buttigieg, former mayor of South Bend and presidential candidate, currently a surrogate for the Biden campaign. And of course, you can find his new podcast on iHeartRadio, The Deciding Decade. Mayor Pete, thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.